The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. Jesus and his disciples came to the other side of the sea, to the territory of the Gerasenes. When they got out of the boat, at once a man from the tombs who had an unclean spirit met him. The man had been dwelling among the tombs, and no one could restrain him any longer, even with a chain. In fact, he had frequently been bound with shackles and chains, but the chains had been pulled apart by him and the shackles smashed, and no one was strong enough to subdue him. Night and day, among the tombs and on the hillsides, he was always crying out and bruising himself with stones. Catching sight of Jesus from a distance, he ran up and prostrated himself before him, crying out in a loud voice, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I adjure you by God, do not torment me." He had been saying to him, "Unclean spirit, come out of the man." He asked him, "What is your name?" He replied, "Legion is my name. There are many of us." And he pleaded earnestly with him not to drive him away from that territory. Now a large herd of swine was feeding there on the hillside, and they pleaded with him, "Send us into the swine, let us enter them." And he let them. And the unclean spirits came out and entered the swine. The herd of about 2,000 rushed down a steep bank into the sea where they were drowned. The swineherds ran away and reported the incident in the town and throughout the countryside. And people came out to see what had happened. As they approached Jesus, they caught sight of the man who had been possessed by legion, sitting there, clothed and in his right mind. And they were seized with fear. Those who witnessed the incident explained to them what had happened to the possessed man and to the swine. Then they began to beg him to leave their district. As he was getting into the boat, the man who had been possessed pleaded to remain with him. But Jesus would not permit him, but told him instead, "Go home to your family and announce to them all that the Lord in his pity has done for you." Then the man went off and began to proclaim in the Decapolis what Jesus had done for him, and all were amazed. The Gospel of the Lord. Good, so once again, good morning, brothers and sisters. Here's a little story for you today that reminds us of a reality that's easy for us to forget. The story today of this poor possessed man from the territory of the Gerasenes reminds us of the reality of spiritual beings, the reality of the realm of those creatures that we cannot see, the realm of the angels and the demons. Let's remember something fundamental to our faith, that long, long ago, sometime back before the creation of the physical world, it pleased your Heavenly Father to create a realm of beings of pure spirit, pure intellect, and pure will. These God called the angels, and they existed to glorify God and give him praise and show forth his splendor and beauty and might, and they were all beautiful beyond description. But because God loves his creatures, he gave his creatures freedom to choose whether they would love him in return or not. Somehow all the angels were therefore put to a test, and while we don't know what this test was, we know that some of those angels did not pass. They chose not the love of God, they chose rather the love of themselves, and these angels fell, and they ceased to be known as angels. They're known rather as demons. They exist, and they are powerful. Now, please do not fall into the trap that many pious people fall into when thinking about the realm of the demons. They are not the cause of all evil in the world. There are many, many forces tugging at your soul and pulling it downward. There's the force of bad example, for example. The collective bad example of all the people in the world all doing wrong things leaves you with the impression that doing wrong things is normal. And it's a terrible temptation, terrible power, and it pulls you down. And then there's the downward pull, not only of your original sin, but of the weight of all the sins you've ever committed. No sooner have you committed a sin that it becomes so easy to slip back and fall into it again. And it pulls you down. However, it's true. There is a realm of evil spirits, and they do have power. However, please keep this in mind. For a soul in the state of grace, that power is not something to worry about. For a soul protected by God's grace, the power of the evil spirits, well, you know, you could say it's almost limited to the realm of irritation. What can they do to you? Well, they can tempt you. And they can cause division, and they can cause confusion, and they can cause anxiety, and they can mess up things in the path of your day. However, you're protected by God's grace. All of that can redound to God's glory and your freedom. Never anything to worry about. The worry, rather, is for those that are not protected by God's grace. Now, that's something to worry about. Because God's grace is to your soul, sort of like what a police force is to a city. I remember once I was driving into the city of Detroit, and there on the highway overpass was a sign, sent a shiver down my spine. It said, "Enter Detroit at your own risk. Police numbers insufficient to protect you." Shiver down your spine. Well, God's grace is like that police force. And what happens when that police force isn't working? Well, we've got a couple of dramatic examples in our readings here today. First reading from the book of the prophet Samuel. You know, King David has just committed a terrible, terrible sin. In fact, two really big sins. Not only did David commit adultery with Bathsheba, but David had Bathsheba's husband, Uriah the Hittite, essentially sentenced to death. Had him sent up to the front lines of the fight where he was certain to be killed. So here's David, the adulterer and the murderer. Now look what happens in the book of Samuel from now on. David's good kingdom, once marked by peace, is now riven by violence and bloodshed and backstabbing and crime. That was never present before. One thing you often take for granted is just how protected you are by God's commandments. You really want to try to live in a place not protected by God's commandments? All I can say is enter that city at your own risk. Then there's the gospel here. Story of this poor, possessed man in the land of the Gerasenes. He shows us what happens when God's good divine image in us is distorted, extremely distorted, by the power of evil. God made you, for example, with a mind to know the truth and to be rational and to think. And look at this poor man. All he can do is bark and shriek and howl. God made you with free will to love and to choose the good. And look at this poor man. All he can do is attack himself and attack others. And God made you to be in communities of love, in homes and families and parishes and cities. And look at this poor man. He's out on the extreme, in living on the wild, living in his own, right? Apart from all community, apart from all love. Now, notice, as soon as Jesus is done with him, everything's healed. He's in his right mind. He's ordered once again towards God and towards his family, and he's once again back in communities. But this is my little point for you for the day. Jesus had to do that. He couldn't do it on his own. You can't fight the power of the realm of evil spirits on your own. A lot of foolish people think they can. It's like a gnat trying to take on a panzer division. Don't try it. You need God's grace. Your own efforts against God's grace is like the shackles that tried to hold this poor man bound. He just smashed him in two. The evil spirits are just that strong. So how do we fight? Well, you stay in the state of grace, and you strive to stay in the state of grace, and you do that by regular prayer. You do that by regular reception of the sacraments, including, and maybe I should say especially, the sacrament of confession. You do that by acts of self-denial. You know, little tiny acts of self-denial, little things that nobody will see, and you just offer it up as a tiny little hidden sacrifice. Do that. Great spiritual strength. And lastly, of course, you do that by perseverance, perseverance, perseverance. That's the key. That's how we want to live. Just a little reminder here for you here today. Let God's grace protect you so that God's love can heal every wound in your life and in your soul. Let's ask for the prayers of the saints to help us today. St. John Bosco. Pray for us.